بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Before we move on to the chapter of the dressing of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, a few things I just want to clarify. As far as the kuhal is concerned, there were some questions from the sisters that can we use eyeliner? Would that suffice as kuhal? Eyeliner is not kuhal. It's something totally different. Eyeliner is, you know, you use as makeup, and kuhal you do as a sunnah. So these are two different things. And the other... As far as the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned, like I mentioned, the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would apply oil to his hair, and this is also a sunnah to applying oil and maintaining the hair. If a person has hair on his head, on his beard, it's compulsory that a person maintains it, takes care of it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam normally would use olive oil, and he would apply that in his hair. And there are a lot of benefits of using olive oil, not just in the hair, but also on the body. So this was normally the practice of the Prophet ﷺ when he would apply oil in his hair. And also when he would apply the oil, after applying the oil, before wearing his topi, his hat, he used to have a cloth that used to cover the head. And then on top of that, he used to put on the topi so that the topi would not get oiled. As far as the dressing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned, I'll mention a few hadith and then I'll explain. The first hadith is narrated by Salama radiallahu anha. She says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he preferred wearing the qamis, the thawb, or the kurta the most. Number two, Salama radiallahu anha, she says that from amongst the clothing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one he used to feel most comfortable in was a thawb. Another hadith, a sahabi says that I came with a group of people to take bay'ah, to take an oath on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's button was open, the loop of it was open. And I put my hand in the collar. SubhanAllah, sahaba were, you know, so easygoing. And Prophet ﷺ was so easygoing that, you know, he didn't say, what are you doing? The sahabi, he says, I went and put my hand inside and I touched the seal of the Prophet ﷺ, his prophet, the thing that we were mentioning yesterday. So I saw it open, so I decided to touch it. And next hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ, he says, that whenever he used to wear a new imama, or he used to wear new clothing, he used to take the name of that and he used to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that. Whether it be a thawb or a kurta or an imama, a turban or a sheet. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to wear his clothing, he used to always put on his right side first, his right sleeve, and then he used to put on the left one. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says that the best clothing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he preferred to wear, was the color of white. And he used to often say that a person who is living should wear this cloth, and he used to say that even when a person wears that while he's alive, it should remind him of the color of clothing that a person is going to wear when he dies. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he preferred to wear the white color of clothing. Now, there are some hadith which talk about Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam occasionally wearing, he had garments of green, he had garments of saffron, and a little bit of a yellowish color, like a cream. You will find some hadith that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the same book, which Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wore a sheet which had bright red linings through them. So you'll find these different hadith. Looking at all the ahadith, as far as the clothing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will see that it was normally of two garments, and sometimes three. Most of the time it was two, and sometimes three. The two that normally he used to wear was like a pants or something on the lower part of his body. Sometimes he used to wear a sheet, what we call a lungi, that type of sheet around, or sometimes he used to wear like a shalwar underneath. And that used to go from his navel and go beyond his knees. And he used to be above his ankles. So that was the first portion of his garment. The second was the top portion. That top portion of his garment was such that he used to go over from the top, and he used to go beyond the knees as well. And he used to come down to the knees. So these are two descriptions. The third is that the clothing were very, very loose. The clothing of the Prophet ﷺ was so loose that you couldn't actually make out the body of the Prophet ﷺ. The fourth important description was that Rasulullah ﷺ, his clothing was such that it was modest. It wasn't fancy. It wasn't something that he actually stood out in front of others. There were times, occasionally, where Rasulullah ﷺ did wear some fancy clothing as well, depending on situations. But his normal dress code was of white, and he used to be long, and he used to be loose clothing. Sometimes the Prophet ﷺ, he used to wear, the top portion of his garment was such that he had slits on the sides, like how we have in kurta. The slits used to be on the side. Sometimes the Prophet ﷺ, his clothing was such that the slits were from the front. A little bit from the front, not all the way up, but just a little bit. So from all of these ahadith, we understand the description of the clothing and the dress code of the Prophet ﷺ. Now, as far as the thobe that normally people wear, like how I'm wearing right now, or the kurta that we were wearing, we can't say exactly that this was exactly what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wore. But we can say safely that this is the closest to the sunnah. That if someone wants to adapt closest to, because we haven't seen the actual clothing of the Prophet alaihi wasallam, but if we want to see something that, looking at the description, if we want to match those descriptions, we will see that this is the closest to the sunnah of the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam. The reason why I'm mentioning this is because there are a lot of people, and this is a growing fitna, and where there are a lot of people who in the masjid and in their lectures, they are mentioning that this is not the sunnah. This is not what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't wear this because it was loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah. Rather, it was something that was done of a tradition. Remember one thing. Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam only do those things which are approved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it's not approved by Allah, Allah will correct them and rectify them right away. If it was something that was not approved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have changed it for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the first important point. The second thing is that when we see Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, Sahaba came from different countries, from different areas, but never do we find any of the Sahaba wearing their clothing, whatever, from that country where they came from. Rather, we will see them adapting to the clothing of what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wore. The third important point: afterwards, when Islam spread and it grew, Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they went to remote areas. They went to places where this was not the tradition. This clothing was not the tradition. They all had their own traditions. They had their own, their own dress code. But never did you see Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in adapting their dress code. Rather, those who used to embrace Islam, they used to adapt the dress code of Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. The reason why I'm mentioning this again is because the fitna that's growing is that people are saying that the dress code is what normally what people wear, that is what the dress code is. That is not the case. If you go to certain countries and certain areas, their dress code is such, subhanAllah, that their aura and their satr is not even covered. So now are we going to say because these people, they wear those type of clothing, so now because since they are wearing that, we wear that kind of clothing as well? Obviously not. When or if someone does not want to adapt to it, that's fine. But not, don't justify and say, not, this is not the sunnah because, you know, I'm not doing it. If you don't want to do it, that's up to you. But remember, we should not just, you know, look at, you know, some words here and there and just say that this is not what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wore. He doesn't have to command it. He doesn't have to say it. Just the fact that he did it is a sunnah. What is a description of a sunnah? Anything that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said or did, that is the description of a sunnah. If it's a command, then it's compulsory. This is not a command. This is something that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did. There was a sahabi. He once came to Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was in his house. When he knocked on the door, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam opened the door and he saw that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam's buttons, they were open from the front. The sahabi, he says, that from that day onwards, I decided to keep my buttons open all the time because I saw Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam doing it. There were some sahaba, and I'm sure we heard of this, that they found out that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he likes squash, he likes pumpkin, and he used to look for that in, you know, in his gravy. And he used to choose to eat that, and he used to love to eat that. Sahaba say, we never used to like it. We saw Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam doing it, because he used to like it, we also started to do it. So, in fact, there was one sahabi, Ibn Majah rahimahullah mentioned in his sunan, that there was a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. After when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam passed away, there were a group of them, they were traveling. And as they were traveling, this sahabi, he told them that I need to station over here and I need to relieve myself. And then after that, they took a break over there and they performed Salatul Asr. This sahabi, he went and he came back without performing wudu, he performed salah. Without performing wudu, he performed his salah. His companions, his friends asked him that, you know, you just went to relieve yourself and you know the ruling, just like the way how we do, that if you go use the washroom, then you have to perform wudu. So this sahabi, he said, no. I did not actually go to relieve myself, but rather once I was traveling with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the same route, in the same direction, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he stopped over here in the same place and he relieved himself, and I just wanted to follow that sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I would not put my najasa on the same place. I just wanted to sit there and follow that sunnah. So now are we going to say that this is not the clothing? This is not the sunnah? You know, we get upset when people, they insult Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam by making cartoons and by doing these things. Obviously, we feel hurt and we get upset when we see those people. But more hurt and more upset should be when people are saying these, insulting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Saying that this is not the dress code, this is not what Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam wore. Ask yourself today, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was to come today in our society, in our life, what type of clothing would he wear? Would he wear the normal clothing that people wear outside? Or would he still adapt to the ways that he used to wear? So it's a reminder, it's also a lesson we learn from this, that alhamdulillah, if we do, that's great. That doesn't mean that we look down upon those who don't. But for those who don't, we should not mock at this and say that, you know, this is something that, you know, that was a tradition of the Prophet alayhi salam. This is not the sunnah, this is the sunnah. And this was the sunnah practiced by the ummah for the last 1400 years. This was always the practice. You pick up any scholar, you read about their life. You pick up any tabi'een, any muhaddith, any mufassir, any scholar, any faqih, and you read their biography, you'll never find that they actually wore the dress code of the local people. Rather, they always wore and they always dressed like how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam dressed. Imam Malik rahimahullah, just quickly I'll end with this. When he was young, he happened to walk by through the streets of Medina and there was a person who was singing. And he got influenced by that. He came back home. He told his mother that, you know, I want to be like that singer. She said to him, she didn't say that, you know, why did you sit with him? And all she did was she put an imama, a turban,
on Imam Malik rahimahullah's head. This is when he was only between 5 and 6 years old. And he said to him, she said to him, that go in and sit in the company of Rabi'atul Ra'i, who was the Imam of that time, and he used to give dars of hadith after Salatul Asr in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She said, just go and sit with him, you won't learn anything, but you will learn the adab, you will learn the akhlaq, you will learn character from him just by sitting with him. After a few days, Imam Malik rahimahullah, he came back and he told his mother, I want to be like Rabi'atul Ra'i. Subhanallah, we learn from you know, biographies, from reading about the ulama and the scholars and the muhaddith of the past, that they would always be making sure that they always followed each and every single sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Practically, they showed that in their life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us the true love of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability of inculcating the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka.